Hello and welcome to Echoes of Glory, Season 8, Episode 5. I'm Jack.
I'm ASD.
And I'm Mark.
Mark, first appearance on the show. So we're going to go through our standard questions for a special guest that we have on. So let's start with your first ever Spurs game.
First ever Spurs game was 91, home game, obviously at the Lane against Norwich, beat them 3-0.
Good start.
Can either of you tell me who scored the 3 goals?
No.
Excellent.
He wasn't born.
I wasn't.
Naeem, Lineker and Paul Allen.
Wow. Was that was your first experience of White Hart Lane then? So what was that like?
That was, yeah. So I remember I was sitting on the shelf in the restricted view seats. I went with my uncle. So my brother actually, and this isn't going to get me off to a good start with the fans, but my brother's actually a gooner.
Let's turn it off.
Yeah, we don't speak much. But my uncle is a massive, massive Spurs fan, always has been, and he took me to my first game.
That's wicked.
And it was unbelievable. I mean, you know, like you're 8 years old. And you go to that stadium, that cauldron, it's unbelievable, yeah.
That's quality. Who's your favourite Spurs player that you've seen live?
I really struggle with this. Mm. I mean, I think it's probably a lot to do with the age I was as well, and that kind of magical thing, Ginola. It's the flair, the panache, some of the goals, the charisma. And when you're younger, you look up to players like that. So yeah, it's got to be David.
He was such a great player, wasn't he? When he used to beat players on the wing, and
especially for that time as well. Like, just stood out, you know. Yeah.
Would you reckon he'd be good enough to get in the current Spurs team? Because there's always debate about this, that he was a good player in a really poor side. But do you think he would have enough?
Yes.
No, I think when you watch it, I know I'm saying with you, he stood out because of the team, I think it's wrong. I think he was class. When you look at the way he's touching the ball, he's finishing, I think he'd fit into any team.
We've got people moaning about Lamella and all that, and they're starting.
We used to have Steve Malbronk, so there you go.
I'm underrated. If you watch back the highlights, he scored the last goals.
Very funny you should mention Malbronk when you come on to your next question for me, I think.
Best game you've seen live.
So this one is purely because of just it was like the perfect storm. So it was beating Arsenal 5-1 in a League Cup semi-final.
Yeah.
And funny enough, so we was...
Steve, yeah,
it was Malbronk in the 90th got the final. So we obviously were four up, and the whole stadium's just like just alive. So I happened to be filming and just scanning around the ground, just enjoying the moment. And then obviously Malbronk made it, and I caught the goal on film. Yeah,
amazing!
And the place erupted. So I think it was just it was an amazing
game.
Amazing,
was incredible. Because Gina scored, didn't he, after about a minute?
An amazing goal. He's got like six players around him, and then and then you can just tell it was on from then. Yeah. It just didn't
scored
anything.
In the away game as well, didn't he? Because we drew 1-1 in the first leg. When there was all over the top. Yeah, Robbie King was clean through, squared it.
Got the other one.
But it was a weird Lee Young-Pyo sort of tackled him and it hit him and went in.
Their goal was really good, wasn't it?
It was Adebayor
scored a belter.
Yeah. And we were all panicking because it went 4-1, didn't it? And it was like, oh God, they're coming back.
But then that when they had a massive round pitch, didn't they? Adebayor and someone else, didn't they? They turned each other.
That sounds about right.
The second leg at us, I'm sure they had a bit of a falling out in the pitch.
Starts falling apart. Bell.
The atmosphere was incredible.
It's amazing.
And then if you had to put together an all-time Spurs team that you've seen live, so any player from any Spurs side, but just players that you've seen, how would that look?
All right. So again, it's a struggle because you can only have 11. It's got to be Hugo in goal. I mean, just phenomenal keeper. Danny Rose. Ledley, Toby, and Stephen Carr.
Steve Carr, best guy I've ever seen.
Every week.
Love him.
Bale.
For
2010 alone. Well, Bale, Gazza, Modric, Ginola.
It's a decent midfield.
Not much going on defensive.
Admittedly, got the bet. And then Teddy, just behind Kane. But notable mentions, I mean, you've got to mention Klinsmann, although he didn't quite make a cut, was torn, and also Berbatov. I loved watching Berber.
Berbatov and Keane, that partnership was one of my favourite times watching Spurs. 4-4-2 every week, and you just knew there was going to be goals in those two.
Ruined only by when Keane was chasing after, when we beat Chelsea in 2008 in the League Cup. And when Keane was almost in tears, running through, like Rocky getting to Adrian. It's a bit cringy, but yeah.
What about Dawson, anyone? Do you love Dawson?
I love Dawson. It was almost like one of the last kind of like proper old school English defenders. Yeah. And you always, like, whenever there was a corner, it was like, go on, Dawson's due a goal, back post. I loved him. As I say, it's not an easy one to answer.
He was a good player, so he was loved by the fans, wasn't he?
Loved
them. Yeah, I feel
like he stayed in the team for probably a season longer than he probably should have done, but no fan wanted him to go. Everyone loved him, but he was like, well, he's not actually that great at this level anymore.
I've actually got a very short anecdote about Dawson. So when we beat Chelsea in the League Cup, we all went, because we got a coach to and from Wembley. We were back at around the lane at the Bricklayers, just having a sort of dance and a sing song on the streets. And word started to filter through that all the Spurs players were going to Faces to celebrate, which is at a time I lived right around the corner. So me and the boys straight home, changed, went to Faces, and we were kind of near them. And a few of the players were like, "Come on, guys, leave us alone." Which, fair enough. We were having a dance around, just singing Spurs songs. I feel an alarm around my shoulder. Dawson has come over to us and kept asking for photos with us, had his arms around our shoulders and danced with us for about 2 hours straight, and wouldn't leave us alone. He wanted to send back with us rather than his own players. It was amazing.
Getting back in the team. Just for that. Is he even still playing now? He was at Notts Forest, weren't he?
Yeah, I'll have a look now. I'll have a little look.
Brilliant. That'd be a decent side. Well, how well would that team do, do you reckon, in the Prem? Be a lot of goals. You score about 150 goals a season.
It's got to be a we'll score one more than the mentality, isn't it?
Yeah, just like Liverpool, really.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, because when you look at, it's decent centre backs. You've got Ledley and Alderweireld.
Out of the two, is one stand out for you, Ledley or Toby? If you could only pick one.
it's impossible not to pick Ledley.
Yeah.
It's impossible. Yeah. I mean, Toby's been phenomenal in what I've seen of him, but no, it's got to be the king.
And I think the only thing with Ledley was just the only question marks ever about him was just game time towards the end. It was like he weren't playing enough, but when he was on the pitch, it was
magic. Wasn't it? Dawson's played one game for Nottingham Forest this year. He's on a 2-year contract.
Oh, he's still there.
Yeah, I did the. I told you before, I did the Legends tour. My dad's birthday present, like one of the last things going around the lane with him, and he just spent ages talking to my dad. My dad's got a brain disability, so he's able to talk to him on a level about what it's like to live with a disability, and it was amazing. He spoke to every single person there, and in the end, it almost became like he was just one of the tour group. He wasn't like he was the celebrity. He was just like a normal guy. He almost lost that shine. He was so
it's
nice.
Brilliant.
It was amazing.
I love to hear that.
It was
I met Ledley a couple of months ago at my local Sainsbury's and was a proper fangirl about it. I literally couldn't contain it. I went over to him and was like, "You're my hero." And looking back on it, it was quite pathetic.
What was he buying?
Chicken. Literally. It was amazing.
I got told in no uncertain terms to go away by Teddy Sheringham once. When I was at a club having a few drinks, and he was at the urinal next to me. And I was drunk, and I was like, "Oh, I love you, Teddy. You're my hero. You're in amazing." He's like, "Oh, come on, mate. I'm just having a night out. Leave me alone." Yeah.
Brilliant. You've done your bit, you can have a breather now.
Lovely.
Stressful bit over.
That's it.
There was some terribly sad news in the week, wasn't there? With Chaz from Chaz and Dave sadly passing away. So I thought it would make sense to talk about Chaz and Dave and like the impact that that's had as being a Spurs fan over the years. So, SD, what's your favourite Chaz and Dave Spurs song? Because there are so many.
I've been listening. You said Chaz and Dave Tottenham song, not Chaz and Dave song. So my
No, Spurs song. Yeah.
So I've been listening to it all day, on repeat, and it's really difficult because I love the songs at the games. You know, coming out to Star Wars, McNamara's band after half time, and then Glory Tottenham Hotspur. But I'm not the biggest fan of Glory Tottenham Hotspur because Man United have got it, everyone's got it. So I love Ozzy's Gone to Wembley because I love singing it with the crowd. Ozzy's Gone to Wembley, it's just brilliant. It's singing it with the crowd that makes it for me, because like I love when the year ends in one. I quite like that and all that, but Ozzy's
a pretty good one.
It's brilliant.
Yeah. Mark, have you got a particular favourite from that?
Hot Shot Tottenham.
Oh, I mean, that was my second choice.
Do you know what I mean? But I agree with you as well. Ozzy, give it up for Tottenham.
Yeah.
But yeah, Hot Shot Tottenham is an absolute belter.
That was the 87 Cup Final song, was it? Hot Shot Tottenham, when we lost Coventry. To Coventry, I think. Yeah. There are so many. So what I'm going to do, and you'll be hearing this in a minute, is just cut up some snippets of their songs, because they're so good. And it's such a shame that's not a thing anymore.
The Cup Final song?
It's such a great tradition, and I don't know
why. Well, we did one, didn't we?
We wouldn't have, well, we haven't really got to worry about them. when we
went to that final against Chelsea, they redid a Chaz and Dave.
They redid Hot Shot Tottenham, and it was terrible.
It was awful. Yeah, no.
The less said about that one, the better.
But how many other bands, how many clubs have got bands that are so closely associated with them? Like, I can't think of any band.
No.
Like Man United, Simply Red, but it's not. They're not a Tottenham band, you know. Chesney were a Tottenham band.
That's the only
band.
Ones like Man City and Oasis. That's a connection. Yeah. It's not a band for them, but that's the only
that's,
one I can
that's
think
a
of.
PR
that,
thing, yeah. Just trying to get their Manchester local image for oil team.
Even if they are big fans of the club, they don't actually associate with them. Like Chas and Dave wrote songs for Spurs. You're not going to get Mick Hucknall writing a song for United, are you?
Yeah. No. It's just amazing, like what influence they had as well over music at that time and the football club. And a lot of people looked up to them, and a lot of supporters could relate to them because at the end of the day, they were just normal Spurs fans that had the amazing talent of music.
Incredibly talented artists. I mean, they supported supported Led Zeppelin at Nebworth, like they're good musicians in their own right. We were just lucky to have them, and they were always on the pitch at half time. I know they were on when they came on in the last season at White Hart Lane, and they've been on before that. They just love Tottenham, and that was the thing, they just love Tottenham. So it's really sad to lose that bit of our culture.
I think especially for fans that were sort of in their heyday in the 80s when Spurs were successful in the cup and all of that was going on, like amazing. So terribly sad news. You'll be hearing shortly, actually, the snippets of some of their songs, so stay tuned for those and give those a listen. Brighton. A lot of pressure going into that game.
Yeah.
A lot of people on Twitter and on TalkSport were saying about, oh, Spurs lose this, but could the Pochettino reign be coming to an end? Which is
mental
madness. Absolute mental madness.
Stupid.
Yeah. But there was a lot of pressure on the team and on him going into that game.
Yeah.
Reverted back to basics. He must have been listening to our podcast last week where he said go back to 4-2-3-1, which he did. And he clearly pumped them up before the game, because you could see the first 15 minutes, the tempo was excellent. We were getting the ball, transitioning from side to side, pressing in packs, which we haven't been doing for weeks. So I felt like we had the old Spurs back, especially in the first half.
Brighton is a tricky game as well. They like a comeback, they're tight, they're compact. Like, they got out by being very disciplined, and they're hitting you on the break. And they're not a bad team, they've got a good little ground. We obviously love the manager. I think
we struggled last year home and away against Brighton didn't we? We took 4 points, but it wasn't comfortable last year.
Did we beat them at home? It was
2-0,
a really dire
Serge
game.
Serge Aurier cross that went in.
Oh yeah, I remember that.
It was
that
shocking.
Was an awful game.
Shocking. But they played pretty well, Brighton. Again, like, difficult for us. But we looked in control, I thought, for most of the game. I mean, the penalty is a clear penalty. I don't really understand how
Fabregas's one in the 2-1.
I don't understand how there's anyone really even debating that one. Is a brilliant finish from Kane as well. He just comes up and nails it, doesn't he?
No one takes a penalty better than him. No one.
I was talking to my brother about it though, because a couple of seasons ago he was missing.
See?
I felt like he was missing the odd penalty. Whereas like now, whenever he comes up to take one, I'm like, this is back of the net, it's guaranteed goal. And then we're 2-0 up in the second half when Lamella comes on. He was fantastic again off the bench.
This is what we say, he's brilliant off the bench. It reminded me of the Liverpool game where we were in control for a lot of it. They had a bit of pressure, and they got a goal in the 93rd minute. Mm. Like, all the arguments that were against us for Liverpool are now against Brighton. Mm. That's why I think. Did you watch it?
Yeah, I did. I think, we didn't look overly troubled, and I think we looked a little bit more composed than obviously, but three defeats on the bounce, there's going to be a certain air of sort of edginess and nervousness, and I think that was there. Do you know what? I wasn't getting. Yeah, you're right. Opened up pretty strong, but it wasn't that exciting, ferocious Tottenham that we have been the last sort of little while. And I think there's something's not 100% there at the moment. This whole Kane burnout thing's a load of nonsense. I mean, it's they're professional. I mean, the levels of nutrition and physio and the recovery with the hydro tanks and all this stuff. The geezer's early 20s. He's not burnt out. Yeah. It's a load of tosh. But there is definitely a there is this excitement every time we went forward and sort of last couple of seasons that isn't quite there at the moment. But I just think it's going to click. It was psychologically we had to beat Brighton.
Yeah.
The whole, you know, is Pochettino's reign over? Absolute rubbish, obviously. But I just think it's just stopped any rot setting in. So I think it was an important win more than a kind of phenomenal spectacle to watch.
The other talking point from the game was Gazzaniga in goal.
Yeah,
second game for us. He played last year in a 1-0 win against Palace where he was man of the match. He was outstanding in that game. I thought he had another solid game for us.
Was form? Was he actually
he's
injured?
He's got a knee injury, apparently.
He did his knee in on Friday in training.
Oh, really?
Apparently, he should be fine. Because Hugo isn't even back in training yet, is he? So it could be a while. But apparently, Vaughan, we should be back training next week.
Pochettino two-footing him, just saying, you're not fucking playing.
Yeah. But he was solid, Gazzaniga. I mean, set plays in particular. There was a moment after about 10 minutes where Brighton had their first corner and then just hung it under the crossbar.
Yeah.
And he came through two or three of them and caught it. He didn't even punch it, caught it. And you see, I think it might have been Lewis Dunk or Glenn Murray sort of like getting his ear. And he was giving it back. And straight away, I'm like, that's a keeper that's not going to be intimidated by these circumstances.
I don't know why you wouldn't play the young one. Because we're either going to keep him or we're not. And if we are going to keep him, play him when Hugo's not playing. Like, what's the point in Vaughan playing right now, really?
I guess it's just an experience thing, isn't it? That's what he would have looked at it and then gone. Yeah. With Hugo being out and there being big games, you'd probably naturally lean on the goalkeeper that's made more appearances.
Yeah.
But the way Gazzaniga played, it'd be difficult, I think, for him to drop him or not play him now in the next match.
Especially the next match.
Well, exactly. League Cup
game. Yeah. So I think it was a really strong start for him. And I thought what we did, which was really sensible, was when we had kick-off in the first half, the first thing we did was get it back to him, give him a few touches, settle his nerves a little bit.
Yeah.
I thought we did really well. But you could see how nervous Alfie Whiteman, who was the sub keeper on the bench, was. He looked absolutely terrified, thinking, God, please don't let me get on.
Yeah, no.
The one thing I want to say, especially because this is going to be recorded for life, is I think Lamella is more than an impact player. I think it's one of those players where he's come over to the Prem and he's not naturally settled into it. Some players get really taken aback. I actually watched a League of Their Own last week, Patrice Evra was saying that in his first ever game, half an hour in, he was on the back post or a corner, and he was thinking to himself, what have I done? What am I doing? Yeah. The pace, this game, the physicality, I think I've made a real mistake. And for a lot of players, it takes a real time to settle in. And he struggled at first, then he got in his own head, and he was trying to be too complicated, too clever, instead of just playing simple football, back to basics. Then long-term injury. He's had a really, really bad run. But actually, and I've said this the whole way, and I've almost come to blows with my fellow Spurs fans over it, I think that he could be a genuine, proper player for us. I'm talking like as in a full 90 minutes, week in, week out, if he gets it just right. I agree.
My concern is like, if that's the standard, if it's like, if he gets it right, then he'll be a 90-minute player, then like, whose space is he taking up? Who is already a 90-minute player? Because I don't think there's anyone better at a through ball than him. And he's got the best left foot of the club. Maybe like he's a precise technical player, and we don't actually have that many precise technical players. It's just that the 20%, which is his head, and if he gets that sorted, he could be absolutely brilliant, because there is no one like him in the Premier League, really. I can't think of another player like him. And tell you what he is good at, and I think we talked about this last week, he's a plan B. If you've got Son, Moura, Dele and him, like, there's four really different players coming at you then, and that's really, like, Son's both footed, Moore is way more right footed but he's maybe quicker than Son, and you've got Dele, who's like sneakier and cleverer than all of them, and then Lamella is unbelievable at through balls, weighted passing, opening people up. I love him. I just want him like you say, I just want him to hit it. Have you seen the tattoo of his dog on his thigh?
No,
have you seen it?
No.
It's a really good tattoo, but it's weird.
I've always been on the fence with Lamella. You can't exactly get across what the tattoo's like.
No, but I imagine that most of your listeners have got access to Google.
Yeah, yeah.
That's a really good point. That's why you're here.
That's why I'm here, glad to be about me, folks.
My view on Lamella, I've always been on the fence with him. You can't question his ability. I don't think any Spurs fan does. It's just his application in big games and consistently, because he's always been a player that will come in for two or three games, brilliant, and then a dozen games will pass and he won't do much. Whereas I hope that this season's the turning point for him. I've always preferred him in a central position. I don't like him wide. I don't think that he necessarily wants to be on the touch. He wants to get involved with the play a little bit more. I hope that this is his season. I don't want to sound too negative with him, but he's been here as long as Eriksen, which I was amazed.
Is that
really,
right?
Because he was with the same money. So if you look at, you know, what Eriksen's done with his career since he's joined and what Lamella's done, actually the contrast there is ginormous.
So Lamella's out for a whole season. You forget how long he's been there.
Right. Well, you think, like, we're young professionals, right? Like, there's a wider range of, because you're a bit younger than us. But imagine you were out of your career for a whole year where your career, and you're not allowed to think about your job. Like, you can't come back and expect to be the same person you
were. The other thing with that as well is, like, bear in mind his age when he joined Spurs. What was he, 20?
He's a kid.
If you take someone that age out of the culture that they're in and just plonk them somewhere where they don't know anyone, they don't speak the language, that's going to take time. And the expectation that you can literally just click it on is a bit unrealistic, and there aren't many players in the world really that can do that.
Because
all this speculation about Mbappe and would he go to Real Madrid, and he's been really, really well advised by going to PSG because he's staying in the same nation, he can build, and then in a few years when he's emotionally ready to make that big step, he can. He's always one that divides opinion, Lamella.
I'd rather him than Sanchez at the moment, so that's a big point.
Well, in an attacking position, I would as well. Much rather have Lamella than Sanchez.
Alexis Sanchez.
But it was a great win, though. There was the moment of sheer panic at 2-1 when we had kick-off, and then all of a sudden it's on the edge of our box and not half going to hit it, and you're thinking, what is happening?
But they could have scored earlier than that, couldn't they? I mean, we could have scored earlier than that, but that chance where whoever it was got into
it was
the box,
Knockhart,
or Knockhart, as they kept them going on the radio, was got into the box and just passed it to our keeper. Like, really could have scored.
Should have scored,
and then suddenly we're under it.
That would have been a different game at 1-1, but it's fine margins. Oh, Kane had a couple of chances.
Yeah, exactly.
2-0, so it was like, he looked better, I thought, as well.
Yeah,
Kane.
He says he felt better. Yeah. He says his best game he's felt. He'll get with it. He's got a young kid. Like, he looks knackered.
There was also a really good gesture from Brighton as well, where they played some Chess and Dave at half time. And you'd assume Chris Hughton was behind that as well, wouldn't you?
Sure, I have to say, I actually went to see Brighton years and years ago against Southend at Roots Hall, and I really like them as a club.
Yeah.
They just got a nice feel about them. They're I suppose it's, you know, if you're going to the equivalent when they made the film Goal at Newcastle, because they picked a club where no one really hates them. There's nothing to dislike. They've just got a nice family feel. Even the chanting on the terraces is relatively light, sort of humour. I've got a lot of time for Brighton. Decent outfit.
And they're doing incredibly well. Like, if you look at site, it's an average championship team, really, isn't it? It's a poor side. Chris Hughton's doing an amazing job. He's a good manager, Chris Hughton. Wherever he goes, he seems to do well, but he always seems to just get sacked a bit unfairly. Like, look at the job he was doing at Newcastle when they got rid of him. I think he's doing well.
Agreed.
We're not going to talk about Inter. I know it's not on the agenda, but we're not going to talk about it. You don't want to?
It's still quite painful to even think about that we were.
So the first, let's do it quickly. Their first goal was a worldie. You can't stop that.
You can't stop it from the minute where he's hitting the ball.
Yeah.
But you can stop it in the build-up.
Yeah.
It's really poor defending. And don't get me wrong, the goal is incredible. It's probably one of the best goals in Champions League this season, but there are so many mistakes in the lead-up to it. Why one of our centre midfielders is in between our centre-half and the other one's not even in shot when that goal goes in, when actually that's centre midfielder's position in the box. But
it's a shocker, wasn't it? It was heartbreaking. I haven't felt like that for a long time. Mm. You know, when was the last time we felt like that?
It's just that loss wasn't what Spurs now is. That was Spurs going back 7-8 years ago. You let a goal and you think, hang on, we're going to actually lose this. Yeah. Whereas now I just think, I thought we'd see it out 1-0, to be honest.
Yeah, I thought we'd see it out. Lucky goal. The atmosphere there was incredible, though. That made the difference, like really properly made the difference.
There's still a lot of games to go in the group, so I'm not.
That pissed me off.
I'm not too nervy yet.
Was how it, like, afterwards the rhetoric was all Spurs are under pressure now, they need to win every game. Whereas City lost to Lyon and they're fine, they're still going to win the Champions League. What's that about?
The only bit of pressure it puts on you is you really need to get something out of that Barca game, the home game.
Yeah.
Because you would expect Inter to beat PSV, although you don't know, but you'd expect them to win there. And if they're on six, Barca are on six, we're on. Yeah. You're already psychologically a few games behind, so if we can get a draw out of the Barca game,
we need to beat him. If we beat him by two or more in the away game as well, that'll be a big difference. But it's the last game, isn't it? It'll go Barca, PSV, PSV, Barca, Inter. So by then, that might be the game to see who qualifies.
Yeah.
So that'll be an amazing final. That'll be amazing.
A hell of a group, innit?
Oh, yeah.
Really.
But last year's was harder, I think. Real Madrid and, Bruce Dortmund, and we won that group.
It's the Champions League. I mean, you're not gonna, we had an easy group a couple of years ago, didn't we, on paper, and we went out in it.
Yeah,
so it's embarrassing. Not, and there is no easy group, really. You've got to be a good side.
Do you know what's nice is once again, we're sitting here discussing our Champions League fixtures. Yeah. And that's the norm for us now.
Yeah.
Which is just a lovely position to be in.
From Champions League to Carabao Cup.
Seamless.
Watford at home, sort of.
In the Wednesday night
in Milton Keynes. Anyone going to that?
No.
I'm not. No. I'm not going up there for it.
I mean, after players aren't going to that. No, I won't be making this.
It's worth pointing out for the people who don't know like geography in the South East as much as other people because you live somewhere else or whatever. Milton Keynes is miles away from. It's not London.
It's about an hour's train, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a long, long way out of London. Like it takes me 40 minutes to drive, and I don't live in London. It's more my way. It's miles and miles away. I don't know why they've done it. They're trying to sell tickets to Milton Keynes fans because no Spurs fans are going. I don't know why they didn't just play it behind closed doors.
There's one man that's happy about it, and that's Dele Alli. Everyone else. But he's been buzzing, isn't he, all week, saying that he's been bigging up Milton Keynes since he's joined players.
It's just roundabouts as well. Mm-hmm. It's literally just roundabouts. It was a planned city, like it's a new city, and it's the ugliest thing in the world.
Mm-hmm. It's going to be Spurs reserves against Watford reserves, you would assume. Mm. Rotation will happen, it always does at this stage in the competition. It'd be nice for us to get through. This is a competition that is winnable.
Yeah.
But I never really hold out that much hope because Pochettino's just not bothered by it whatsoever.
I think it's right. Just like we haven't got the squad depth to fight on every front. Like Man City have got two first 11s. We don't. Play the kids. Like, I'm all for playing the kids.
Why? I don't know. I think it'll be one of them games. There'll be a goal in it. It might go extra time.
Oh yeah, it'll be awful.
Players off the bench will most likely determine it because I could see it being 0-0 after 70-75 minutes, and then you chuck a first teamer on and. Can they nick the goal? But I don't know.
I'm actually yawning. I'm feeling tired thinking about it. You know, do you know what I mean?
It's such a strange game. Like no player on that pitch would have played in that kind of environment before. Where are we? Like, yeah, what's going on?
Have you seen Spurs go to penalties? Have you been at Spurs going to penalties?
I have.
Which game? I saw them against Hull. I think a few
Man United Carling Cup final when we lost 0-0, wasn't it, in the 120.
We had the videos on an iPod. Mm.
And David Bentley come up, put his wide, and you're thinking, right, that's that then.
Yeah.
I think that's the only. I can't recall being at another game that's gone penalties and
Hull.
I've seen Hull.
I remember
that was the Sigurdsson mad goal, wasn't it?
The best goal I've ever seen live. Yeah. Do you remember that? Where Sigurdsson.
It's no Steve Carno, is it? Let's be honest.
He drags it back, but bounces it as he drags it. So it comes. He's doing a turn and drags it back, and then absolutely twats it in from 35 yards.
It's a technical term. Yeah. I hope we get the job done at Watford, and then we've got Huddersfield at the weekend.
That'll be difficult.
It will be, but I mean, they're a poor side, Huddersfield. Really poor side. I don't really know what they're even trying to do this season.
Cardiff and Huddersfield are the ones going down, aren't they? So it's.
You'd think so.
For me, you know, looking at it as the Spurs, where the result against the Inter broke us, whereas beforehand it would be like, we're lucky to even have a seat at the table. The fact that we are so much of a better team now. I think that should be 3 points. Yeah. That should be something that we can comfortably go there and dispatch them. Now, I'm not saying don't pay them respect. I'm not saying that there is any game in the Prem that is easy. There's not such a thing. But we are of a better calibre of them. And if we're compact and we're composed, that should be one that we could be able to deal with without too much trouble.
Mm. Yes.
We won 4-0 there last year. So McCain got a hat-trick and Sissoko scored later on. And we murdered them. So... Again, I'm confident. I've seen a few of their games actually this season, Huddersfield, and they're
not very good, are they?
Real poor team.
Yeah,
but you never know. Like, it's a bonus game for them. They've got nothing to lose by playing us, you know. So if, in their mind, at the start of the season, they will have discarded Tottenham home and away just as a defeat. So if they do get anything, it's a bonus. So we'll see. I'm confident though.
I'm confident. 3-0.
Yeah,
3-0.
Yeah.
But what do you think, Mark? Score?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if it's gonna be 3, maybe 2-0. I'd like to walk away with a clean sheet. Definitely.
Yeah, I think we can deal with that, couldn't we?
You're gonna at least. I mean, I don't know if Vaughan would be back, but whoever we've got between the sticks, with our back line, they, we shouldn't be troubled.
No. Yeah. Can I say, I've watched two West Ham games recently for my sins, just because they were on in the background. I watched Chelsea yesterday, and then I watched them beat Everton. They don't look that bad. I know they've started off badly. Do you know if we're playing them away or at home first?
Like, we've got them away in not that far away.
Because that is a massive
game.
It's
in about four or five games we've got them,
because that...
At the running track as well,
See, for me, when it comes to those games, I think I just discard the form book.
Yeah,
they could be, they could come off the back of six defeats, us six wins, but there's something, you know, they know whether they're you know, new to West Ham, new to the country, whatever it might be, it will get drilled into them that this means everything.
Yeah.
This is playing us is their cup final every time. So it's just about who's got more fire in their belly on the day and a little bit more composure.
They often
those games scare me. Always will.
West Ham have caused us a lot of problems the last few seasons as well. Like, I can't remember the last time we played them and we've comfortably beat them. It feels like a long time. I think it was, we beat them 4-1 at the Lanes when Walker scored the outside of the right foot.
Yeah.
That was the last time where I felt we've just murdered them. They always seem to frustrate us.
Yeah.
But it will never feel, even if we're 3-0 up, we'll be thinking, oh God, we need a fourth. Otherwise,
you can't
relax.
When you get the fourth, we need the fifth.
Exactly. I mean, to be fair, they're not the best mathematicians, though, are they? Like, when Leicester won the league, they beat us, and like, we stopped winning the league. Points of it wouldn't have been. But it's that, I mean, the fact they celebrate sort of things, I get something to skin.
I did have a brilliant moment, though. So, yesterday, I was out for a run to finish my weekend.
Shelf.
I did a mile as well.
Is that right?
I ran past the tube station, and out where I live, there's a lot of West Ham fans out there, and I timed it where I was out as they were getting home from the games. It wasn't the smartest time to go out for a run, but anyway, as I'm running, I've got my headphones and my music playing, but I can still hear people that are chatting, and there's two West Ham fans walking towards me, and one of them goes, "We've started poorly, but I tell you, we'll be right up there at the end of the season." And that was my... I gave myself a stitch because I was running laughing for the next minute. It was incredible.
Amazing. So funny.
It's like the complete opposite of a Spurs fan.
Yeah, exactly.
Amazing.
Time for the We Are Tottenham Hotspur quiz.
We are about the glory of the game. We are about playing with style. We are Tottenham Hotspur.
I'm so bad at these.
Which I know that you're terrified about every week. But you said to me last week, it's too hard. We need it to be sort of in the last few years.
Yeah.
So this is from a game. Mark, for your benefit. So what I'll do is I'll give you a game and the date of that game.
Right.
About six of the first team players that played. And then between you've got to try and work out who the other five are.
Yeah, we got this.
I'd like to go on record as saying, if you cut me, blue and white comes out. But I can barely remember the score against Brighton on the weekend. My ability to retain information is non-existent, but doesn't mean my passion isn't there. Let's give it a go.
Tottenham 2, Brighton 0. Carling Cup, 29th of October 2014.
I'm not going to look at the team. I'm going to check my sheet.
Okay, 2014. So
this is a Carling Cup game?
Carling Cup game.
So it's a bit of a weird team.
So there's a lot of first teams.
Did you say what round it was in the cup? Did you say?
No.
No, okay.
It's October, so it's fourth round.
Oh, brilliant, yeah.
So, the players you need to get are, you need the goalkeeper, you need the right back, one of the centre-halves is Jan Vertonghen, you need his centre-back partner.
I think go to this.
The left-back's Ben Davis, right-hand side of midfield is Aaron Lennon, left-hand side of midfield is Andrews Townsend. Centre midfield is Moussa Dembélé. And his centre midfield partner is one you've got to get. And then up front is Soldado. And his strike partner you've got to get.
Paulinho.
So you need... Paulinho. So you need the goalkeeper, the right back, a centre-half, a centre midfielder and a striker. Discuss.
Right, so let's start with the right back. At that time, 2014, so it was only 4 years ago.
Mm.
So Carl Walker, Carl Norton.
Carl Norton.
Good.
Is correct.
Who's the next one I need?
You need a goalkeeper, centre-half.
Brad Friedel.
Not Brad Friedel.
Not Brad Friedel?
Not Brad Friedel.
Not Lloris.
Not Lloris.
That is a...
It's not like a really weird rogue one. It's just... It's fairly...
It's not Vorm.
It is Vorm.
Oh, bloody
hell. It is Vorm.
I didn't realise it'd been with us that long.
Yeah, it is Vorm.
So who have we got now? Centre midfielder?
So you need a centre midfielder who was partnering Moussa Dembélé. This is the hard one, the centre midfielder. If you get this, that'd be a pretty good shout.
So it's not like Ben Taleb.
No, but think that kind is...
Mason, one of the youth team then?
Not a youth team player, but just a player that you'd be like, oh yeah, I forgot we had him. He didn't play much for us at all. I think we had him for one season.
And a striker.
And then the striker, the one that one playing up front was Soldado.
Not Kane. Was it actually?
Harry Kane.
So we need the midfielder.
Centre midfielder.
Someone's shouting this out now as they're listening.
Mm. I'll give it French.
That's made it even worse.
He only played for us for a season. He was pretty poor. He moved like he had lead in his boots.
Oh, Stambouli.
Stambouli. Benjamin Stambouli. Great knowledge. Great teamwork.
He went to PSG. He went to PSG.
Yeah. And I think now he's at Bordeaux or somewhere like that.
See, I was like the Mellor then. I was on the bench ready to come off. I was ready to come in, but...
So that team, and this is 4 years ago, not far to the day, Vorm in goal, Norton, Vertonghen, Fazio, Davis.
Fazio.
Lennon, Dembele, Stambouli, Townsend, Kane and Soldado.
What a mess.
That's horrible.
It's awful, isn't it?
That's horrible. But then equally... Early on in the League Cups, it's not, still, that's
weird.
Oh,
isn't it?
Yeah.
Benjamin Stambouli was a horrific player, absolutely horrific. But that was the year we got to the Cup final, wasn't it, against Chelsea?
Bloody hell.
You won it off Woodgate's face.
No,
2014, sorry.
Let's do an update on fantasy football. So there's been one change in the top three. So James Lamont is still leading at the top with 433.
Good for him.
Richard Healy in second with 415.
Which means...
And Matt Downey has got into the top
three. Good
old
Matt.
Pushing Abbas down to fourth. So Matt in there on 339. So Hot Totty Trilogy is down to fourth now in the league. Got some listener questions that we've had in today, so I'll do one to you, one to you, one to you, so on, so on.
Then what?
Got a few more than just that. So on Reddit, CCarlin89, ASD, I'll come to you first. Does Lamella deserve a place in the starting 11 on current form, or is he more effective as an impact?
We've already covered it. It's almost a disservice. I would start him against Huddersfield rather than in the League Cup. Actually, to make it fair to say, you know what, you deserve a proper first 11 start rather than we're going to diss you and stick you in the League Cup. So, yeah.
Mark Armovny _98 on Reddit says, now that a few games have been played, what are your realistic expectations for the Prem and Champions League?
I hate the Prem. The Premier League.
I mean...
No offence.
I know it's really early on to sort of start making these such big predictions, but I just don't see Liverpool and City look so strong.
Yeah.
They look so strong, don't they? I mean, to be honest with you, if we're fighting and securing third or second, I think that's we're not. There are certain fans out there that say we can win it. We're not quite there. We're not. I'm not as much up in arms at the lack of signings as some fans, but I think look, we have to up the top four. That's a given now.
Yeah.
I'm looking at third.
So who's not making it? Man United, Arsenal, or Chelsea?
I think Arsenal won't make it.
And Arsenal are useless at the moment.
Yeah, I mean they always worry me. But yeah, of the three, they're the ones obviously with the whole transition and whatnot, and they're not sort of completely blowing me away.
Well, two of them actually thinking about it. So if it's us, City and Liverpool, then who's the fourth one? Chelsea. Has to be Chelsea.
Yeah.
Chelsea look all right at the minute as well, to be fair. But it is so early, it's difficult. Like, one game ago we were in crisis and now we're fifth.
Yeah, Man United are in crisis, aren't they?
Yeah, so it's really difficult at this point in the season.
And in terms of Champions League, I'll be honest with you, and it's not saying I'm enjoying saying it out loud, but I'm really scared about this group. I know what you're saying about last season, but I don't know. I just feel really nervous about the group, and I can feel us it not something going wrong. Yeah. Maybe it's the injury result that's got in my head, but I don't
end up in the Europa League or something.
Don't say it out loud.
ASD Clandestino 123 on Reddit says, will Gazzaniga, 26 years old, turn out to be an incredible Pochettino signing? I think he will. What do you think?
It's difficult for a keeper because there's one position for him. You know, you can't rotate him, you can't move him to it. So maybe, I mean, Lloris is going to be with us if he stays with us for the next 5-6 years, by which time the keeper's going to be Vorm's age. If I was Gazzaniga, I'd be looking at my options, just be bluntly, because I know I would be like that. This is his peak, 26, 27, 28. He's not going to get in the Spurs first side unless Lloris is injured or we sell him or he moves. And I would love him to be. I'd love to have two quality keepers, but if he's got ambition, then he should be leaving.
But it is becoming a bit more of a common thing now for the top sides of having two really strong keepers, because like the number two has to be at that level and ready to step in.
And you have so many games.
Yeah,
I would love him to be the cup keeper, you know, in FA Cup, Europa League, and the worst games in the Champions League. Let him have it. Maybe.
It takes a hell of a manager to not start a fit Lloris.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we always talk about who are the actual world-class players, like who would get in a world 11, like the only best 11 players in the world. And I think Lloris and Kane are the two who are closest to from us for being in there. You would have Eriksen, but there's so many talented players there.
Yeah, yeah.
And maybe Toby.
Mark, Yours K on Reddit says, is Danny Rose back?
I'm not completely convinced. I'm not sure. I mean, I like Danny Rose. I've always been a fan of him. I think he's brilliant at getting forward. I think he, on his day, he plays with as much passion as anyone on the pitch, and I love that. I love players that really, really care. The egos all around the pitch. Berbatov used to drive me nuts for that.
Yeah.
Right? But amazing what you're doing 2 minutes would be better than some people doing 180. But I don't know. I feel like it could go either way. It's not. I don't feel convinced at the moment. And also, look, the reality is, and absolute massive respect to him for speaking publicly about his mental health battles and what he's gone through. And I think that takes absolute courage, especially.
Yeah.
The reality is, you know, on the terraces, men and women and all people can still act stupidly and be really disrespectful, so I think it takes a lot of courage to come out. But I don't know where he is at the moment, and it's a lot of pressure in this game, so I don't know. I'd like to think so, because I've always rated him. He's in my top 11, isn't he?
Yeah.
So
he looks like he looks like he's enjoying his football again as well, which is good.
Yeah, and he made some silly comments, but that all seems to have been sort of put to bed. So hopefully so, mate.
Yeah. ASD XLTHFC on Reddit says, would you have taken this exact start to the season before the season started? I'm talking every aspect of it. Results, stadium delay, Champions League draw, signings. Great question, by the way.
Yeah, it's a brilliant question.
Brilliant. I'd like to know their answers.
I think, that Man United game, a lot of people remember for a long time. Because we bossed them. We didn't just win it. We bossed them. It will be a platform for us to be a lot better over the next few games. We've always talked we wanted Barcelona. Stadium was always going to be a weird season anyway. You might as well get it right. Yeah, I'll take it. Like, why not? We're here. I'm enjoying it. I just, you know, the way I deal with these things, I'm not as emotionally. I don't fluctuate as much as other people. Yeah. You always try and see the good in it, and I like it when we're having a difficult time, because it shows you when we're going to have a good time in it. You know, I love the ABB times, because you could see where the good was. Mm-hmm. You know, you could enjoy bits of it. I don't know. It's just if everything's good all the time, if you're a City fan, what do you enjoy? Because it's just all the same all the time.
I still, to this day, will never understand why you love Davy B so much.
I'm just defensive. I like defensive.
Mark, James of Suffolk on Twitter says, Pochettino looked as furious as me after the final 2 minutes. What has gone wrong with our tactics? I've watched all but one of our games this year, and for the life of me, I have no idea what our game plan is for any game so far.
It doesn't feel as bleak to me. I think that there are times when players maybe get a bit complacent, and I don't know if it's a tactics issue. I think it's that sometimes these players are, if you think about the lives they lead and the kind of platforms they're on, sometimes they need a good kick. And I just think that maybe they've all got a little bit too complacent, a bit sure of themselves, and actually they've stopped fighting to the point where, you know, like you run to your chest and he's burning. You don't always see them doing that at the moment, and that's why I said about the Brighton game, it's not that Spurs that just excites you every time they go forward. And I just think they needed a kick and needed a bit of a waking up call, and I think it's more that than tactics, because I think Poch is tactically astute, and it's more just getting the players back on track.
The thing is, I'm not having a go at the fella at all, like really not at all, but like these coaches spend all day Sunday reviewing videos, watching them over and over, watching the game 10 times. We watch them maybe twice if you're really into it. You watch highlights. We don't know what's going on at all. Like, you're always really good at this stuff, but you can see things because you've done your coaching badges. Imagine what you could see if you were doing all the way up to the Euro level. We can't see what they can see, so they are trying to predict what the other team have been doing, and they're trying to react to that whilst also pushing our approach to the game. We don't know. and things haven't been going right for various reasons. There's a million variables, which is why we love it, and it's a sport and it's not a science. So I don't think things would be going wrong at a tactical level. I think it's a personnel thing at the moment. And
Sir Alex Ferguson used to talk about that quite a lot, and he said that you can prepare your team so much in the week, but when it comes down to actually stepping over that white line as a manager, you can't really control anything. You can set your team out and say, this is how I want you to play.
Yeah.
But a lot of actually being pumped up and adapting to your opposition and winning your 50-50s, a manager can't control that whatsoever. Yeah. So it's a really difficult position, because a manager will always be criticised, especially with the changes that Potch has made the last few weeks. He's always going to get stick for it because it's not worked, but you can only do so much. Yeah.
Very very quickly on the Ferguson thing, and in terms of the manager and what he instills in the players, again, Patrice Evra said that one year when they won a Champions League, they all got on the coach. They've just won the Champions League. It's the pinnacle of club football. And Fergie gets up at the front on the microphone and goes, well done, lads. Enjoy, celebrate tonight because you've won Champions League. But back on it straight after. Yeah. And if we don't win it again next season, everyone who's getting sacked. Man, and that's it. That. Sat down and got on with the drive. And, I mean, that's the mentality, It's win-win-win.
It was also so good to see him back at Old Trafford as well.
His health issues, that
was brilliant to see him there.
I don't think we'll ever see Ferguson. I think he's him and Messi may be the two greatest football people of all time. How he took multiple teams, he adapted so well. You look at Capello, who's, if you have a look at what he's won across both his playing and his managing career, it's unbelievable, but he's now out of fashion, he's outdated. Wenger, outdated. Even Mourinho's not delivering what he should be doing. Ferguson did it for decades. Mm. Unbelievable.
Now you're into your leadership thing, aren't you, quite a lot? And if you look at him motivating people to get the best out of him, it's incredible. We want to Premier League with Tom Cleverley and Anderson central midfield.
It's how flexible he approached every different person.
It's mad.
He was so delicate. It was amazing.
I asked you a question for you, Sam Latford on Twitter.
Correct.
Is Eriksen too good to be dropped?
Yes. Without him, everything falls apart. He's the one player we cannot drop. He's the one where I think if you take him out, Spurs change. I think he's the best example of Spurs, apart from Kane, who is Spurs culturally. I think as a footballer, I think he's absolutely brilliant, and it will be billions to replace him. I think it's a good question. I think he's absolutely right. I don't know, as soon as you take him out, things fall apart. And the same way Dele's forcing his way into that position as well, Eriksen's so important.
Quick point on Dele Alli as well, because for me it's no coincidence that our bad spells coincided with him not being in the team as much either.
Yeah.
What is it with fans that get on his back quite a lot? I do not understand it.
I think that Dele went through a season of he was some flair moves, some big goals. It was all a little bit of a flashpoint. He has matured and changed his game almost too quickly for a lot of fans to realise. And he plays in a really intelligent way now, and he's more of a supporting role, and actually he's more about kind of helping the build-up play rather than these fantastic finishes. And so people don't necessarily spot that, and they just say, he's not scoring as many or not as many direct assists, so they think he's not playing well. But actually, if you watch him, he's so influential just in a slightly different way now. I think he's just adapted his game.
Yeah. He's brilliant.
And he's been playing a different position, like he did for England at the World Cup, where he was playing central midfield, not as a 10.
Exactly.
In the centre of the park, dictating play, breaking play up, doing it all.
He's at risk of being, not having a position. Kane has a position. Even he's been moved around, but almost Lampard and Gerrard, where they couldn't find him the perfect position in England or... But he's at risk of that.
He's such a talented player, Dele Alli. I think as his career goes on, he will end up just being a central midfielder and dominating games. Because he's a big lad. He's 6'1", 6'2", as well, isn't he?
It's a joy to watch as well, because you can tell he loves his football.
Yeah.
He loves his football.
And he's clever as well, isn't he? He doesn't rely on his physicality. He's brilliant.
And I like a player that's played at the lower leagues, well, because they've got that fight about them. And then when things are getting tough, he's not one that's going to back down and be bullied or anything. I love him.
I'm a little bit on the edge with that one, though. I mean, you're right, as in he doesn't back down. He's fearless, which I love. But I think he does need to wind his neck in a little bit, and some of the lashing out. Now, I know it's interesting because Poch, obviously, I think Poch got set off seven times in his career.
Yeah,
ridiculous.
He did have a good discipline.
Right? And he actually said, he goes, because when Poch got pulled up a couple of times with Dele's sort of petulance, he said, no, I don't want to take that out of his game. That's important to me. But I think he needs to rein it in, just because there's a couple of times when he's lashed out and got himself in trouble. And you're no good to us sent off. We need you on the pitch.
It's just controlling that.
Exactly. It's just a little bit of control for me, yeah.
Yeah, you're on the fire. Like, Rooney had that fire, didn't he? Yeah. There were times when you could see Rooney chasing someone. He's like, he's going to do me. Yeah, he's going to break something. Yeah,
absolutely.
But I think all the players at the top have that. Like, even Ronaldo and Messi, to a certain level, play on the edge, and you're never quite sure what they're going to do next.
Yeah. I just think booting someone in the ribs is over the edge.
Yeah. Just a tiny bit.
Let's keep you playing, Dele, not on the bench.
Amazing. Last question, so Mark, this one's for you. Richard Stanston on Facebook said, is it worth winning at any cost, or should the club have some integrity? So what he means is, do we stick to our values of playing beautiful football, or do we go down the Mourinho route of just win and it doesn't matter how?
I personally, I'm for the former. Because that's what Spurs is. You just said it so well, SD. It's about the culture of the club, and it epitomises why we love Spurs. All the way back to the top of the podcast, Chaz and Dave, there's that warmth, there's that affinity, there's that love for it. And if you take that out, right, then, I mean, well, you talk like a George Graham Arsenal, it's 1-0 boring crap. I hate losing, right? It's the worst, you know, as a Spurs fan, it's the worst thing that's out there. You know, obviously, that's why we go to football. We want to win trophies, we want to succeed. But when you watch a Spurs team play, there's no greater joy. I wouldn't be happy losing. My season ticket's to go and watch Spurs, not going to watch a crap game just because it gets the right numbers.
That's the thing. There's a lucky 50,000 who get to go watch Spurs. Well, 25,000 who get to go watch Spurs regularly. And for them, it is all about the experience, right? But if you're watching on TV, you sort of forget what you've watched, but you remember the result. And I think that's the difference. And as it becomes more global and we lose a bit of the soul of the team, people are going to want that more and more. But City have shown that you can play amazing football. You have to pay through the nose for it. And I think we need to be at that end of this. I'd rather lose one and win three beautifully than win all four. Like, it's properly like that. Like, you remember Chelsea, and they scored 100 goals in the season and all that. No one really remembers them, and everyone sort of hates them, but that Man City team from last season, you love them because they're playing with flair.
Well, that's some brilliant questions there, though.
Really good.
So thanks everyone for writing those in. Anything else you want to cover?
Oh, Junior's been in contact.
Oh, has he?
Yeah.
How is he?
Junior's good. So he's on a trip to North London. He says he's getting into drill and into grime, and he says he's looking forward to, he's seen the stadium, and he's looking forward to going back to the stadium, but he can't get into the stadium, so he's been going up and down Tottenham High Road. And he's asking you two, what's your favourite thing about going up the road to Tottenham? Because I go to Seven Sisters and walk up. What are you looking forward to being back in the area for? Do you know what I mean? Like, forget the games, what around the stadium, what are you looking forward to being back?
I just love the buzz of it when you get there.
Because
my route in was never normally Seven Sisters. I would normally go Northumberland Park and walk down, or White Hart Lane Station and walk down if we get in the train. And it's just that moment when you get off.
Great, isn't it?
Walk out the station, it's Spurs fans everywhere. You just feel like you belong, don't you?
And I've seen kids in the kit.
Yeah, and it's just you get near and you walk past the pubs and you can hear the chant in the beginning. You get the smell of the burgers and the onions, and you just think, this is what it's all about.
Interesting that both of you do public transport to get there. I always drive.
Do you?
Yeah.
Which park?
Don't give it away. The funny thing is, I've been parking there for years and years, and the name of the road has gone out of my bloody head. It's where the pita bread factories are. It's where the Billy Nick is. If you walk past the Billy Nick on your right hand side walking away, you take a left hand side through a cap for a little housing
estate, didn't you?
Housing estate. And then all the away coaches park down there. Can't think of the name of the road now. I got really, really shrewd about it a few years ago. I live just off the A406 in Woodford. So what I did was I got friendly with one of the guys in the high-vis jackets that runs the car parks, you know, like the £5 a park. And I said to him, look, I will be here every week or every home game. I said, just leave me a space in the car park and I'll be here Saturday 3 o'clock, I'll be here at 2:45. So whilst everyone's sitting in the F06 and gridlock because they want to get their early doors and get their programmes and their burgers and all that, I wait until like 2:20, jump in my car, everyone's already there. Shoot down the F06, straight to the car park, there's a space waiting for me. And then the bit I love is walking down the main road and you go past the Billy Nick and everyone's there. It's that on the corner, you got that, you know, they've got the little barbecue going outside, all the songs going, all the fans on that corner. That's for me is when you
everyone's in the road and that.
It's walking past the Billy Nick and then you go through the school into the ground. That's my route in, and that rush gets you and everyone walking in the same direction.
I can't wait.
It's going to be great to be back in Tottenham though.
That's what it's about.
Question, when do you think? I mean,
like
obviously
next year, like proper
January.
No, I'm going to start next season.
So you think season?
I thought they did.
One of my biggest frustration with this is the lack of transparency.
Yeah. Because
they know, they must know with a little bit more certainty than they're giving away, and it should be the next game. Oh no, it's not. And I think that's the thing that I think a lot of fans are feeling a little bit messed around and sort of been manipulated. Just if it's going to be the end of the season, we'll take it on the chin. We're going to have one of the best stadiums going. We'll suck it up. Just tell us.
Yeah,
I think there needs to be a little bit more transparency with it. It's frustrating.
There's a really good article which I can send to you to stick out on the Twitter, which was by like an industry paper, like B2B paper, which in the construction news, and it was just talking about what a farce it is. And what Spurs did is rather than give Mace the whole project, they went out and bought and had individual contracts with the electricians, with the plumbers, with everyone. And then so Mace have got no power over, and so they're all working towards their individual projects, but no one's bringing it all back up into one overall project. So like they had an incident a couple of weeks ago where the air conditioning electricians came in and installed all the electricity, and they hadn't installed the actual air conditioning, so they had to rip it out even though they'd been working over all the week. It's just loads of stuff, stuff like that.
And it happens when you're rushing as well, in any rushing job, isn't it? When you're rushing to get something done, you then make a stupid
mistake.
They've
tried to save money and it's cost more. One step forward, a million steps back.
Well, I watched the Everton game yesterday. Yeah. I watched the Everton game, and at half time they did an aerial shot of the new stadium because JD was pundit, and it doesn't look close to me. No. Like there just seems to be so much around it, and obviously there was no pitch there, I'm with you. I don't. It's not in this side of Christmas.
I think even when we do get in there, the surrounding area is going to be. That's going to take ages to get all finished. I think you'll be there 1 week and they'll be a bit sectioned off. The next week it'll be paved. I think it's going to take time to get it done.
Remember last season as well when we had the whole corner missing? Don't bother.
That was where my season ticket was.
Oh, no way.
I got moved to the Park Lane.
Oh, yeah.
Which actually helped though, because in the new stadium, I'm in the wall now.
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah. That was a nightmare in the way.
It'll be worth it though when we get there eventually.
Of course it will.
But Mark, it's been great having you on. Please do come back this season.
Pleasure. Thank you, gents.
Obviously, you've been here as well. Chaz and Dave are going to play you out today as well, so enjoy that. And remember, whatever happens, future's bright, future's lily white. Come on, you Spurs.
On you Spurs.
Darling, there ain't no pleasing you.